From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you, and thank you for joining us today for Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we continue our studies in the life of Christ. We come now to John chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at a subject this week that's the Lord Jesus sowing and reaping in Samaria. So stay with us as we look into God's Word. But first, it's time for our hot topic or commentary on a current event. For today, it'll be called Bono Blasphemy in the Church of England Communion Service. In an astonishing display of blasphemous bad taste, a Church of England bishop has announced that in May he will hold a pre-Pentecost communion service in St. Swithin's Church in Lincoln, at which the star attraction will be the Irish rock star Bono, the lead singer of the group U2. The Church of England usually refers to its communion service as the Holy Eucharist, which it has blasphemously altered to play in the rock group's name. The Eucharist in St. Swithin's will become the U2charist. And it's not just the name of the service that's changed. Instead of Christian hymns, the congregation will rock along to Bono's hit songs, which have, of course, a spiritual content, whatever on earth that may mean. The Church of England hopes that with the help of a TV program of the rock communion service to be aired by the BBC later in the year, they'll be able to raise a national interest in having more of them. They imagine that they bring young people flocking back to the Church of England. They base this hope on the fact that this experiment in Bono blasphemy was first tried in the US, where crowds flocked to hear him perform. There can be little doubt that crowds will also flock to hear him in Britain. He's a star in the world of rock. The bishop who's organising the U2charist in Lincoln thinks him a saint because he has espoused the cause of the poor in third world nations and has raised a lot of money for AIDS sufferers. The question is whether going to hear Bono, who in TV interviews has freely used swear words, will be anything but a travesty of Christian worship. People who like rock music will no doubt like what he does in Lincoln. But the fact that he performs in a church specially prepared to allow the people to dance to Bono's beat will not make the whole thing a Christian or spiritually elevating experience. At what purports to be a remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, here are some of the lyrics Bono will belt out. Under the title Mysterious Ways, he'll sing, "It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. She moves in mysterious ways. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. We move through miracle days. Spirit moves in mysterious ways." A wee bit of feminism in there. Then another piece called Elevation. "Explain all these controls. Can't sing, but I've got soul. The goal is elevation. A mole digging in a hole. Digging up my soul now. Going down. Excavation." And that's at a so-called Holy Communion service. "To such lengths will dead apostate churches go to get people to come to their services. If the people won't attend worship services, put on a rock concert and pretend that it's a new, exciting form of worship." It's not. It's blasphemous. Apostates may get people to attend their U2charists, but they'll simply strengthen the grip of sin and Satan on their lives. That, of course, is the everyday occupation of apostates. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have a very special offer for you in this month of April, and I trust that you'll avail yourself of it. As our gift to you, we'd like to offer you my book on the Lord's Prayer. This has been a book that the Lord has greatly used and has been very instrumental in leading many Christians to a deeper experience of God in the secret place. The book is yours if you wish to have it by writing to us or emailing or calling. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you and to letting you have The Lord's Prayer, a book you'll thoroughly enjoy.
We're turning this morning to the fourth chapter of John, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Or, I don't know why the translation turns the order around. It reads beautifully as John wrote it. "This is truly the Savior of the world, the Christ." That is a great way to end the Bible reading. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's briefly bow in prayer. Our eternal God and Father in heaven, we thank thee that we have this portion of thy word open before us today. We thank thee for the wonderful self-disclosure of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we pray for eyes to behold him. We pray for ears to hear him. And to this end, we pray now that thou wilt hide this preacher behind the cross. Grant to me the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom and the grace which he alone can supply. And grant, our God, that thou wilt take over this meeting. We pray that thou wilt give guidance in the preaching and in the listening. Grant, our God, that there may be fruit in every heart. Oh, that we would meet with Christ today just as truly as did the woman at the well of Sychar, just as truly as did the men of the city. Oh, Lord, we pray that there will go out from this place this wonderful testimony that reverberated around the city of Sychar. This is truly the Savior of the world, the Christ. Oh, Lord, convince every soul of the person, the work, and the glory of the Savior. Grant our Father that his name may be uplifted, even now as we look into thy word. So still our hearts, and hush them to listen with expectancy as we wait on thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ broke down the middle wall of partition that existed between Jews and all other races. Now, according to Ephesians 2, he did that fully and finally at the cross. But here in the 4th chapter of John, we see the Lord Jesus commencing the great work of dismantling that middle wall of partition as he brings the Samaritans into his kingdom with the significant statement that the hour has now come when the true worshippers will worship God not at Jerusalem with their temple worship, not in Samaria with their worship at their temple in Mount Gerizim, but the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is a very important chapter. In many ways, it's one of those departure chapters in the Word of God. You'll find in the ministry of Christ there are certain focal points or departure points, parts of the Scripture narrative where you'll find the Lord Jesus is taking his ministry to, we could say, a new realm, a new level, a new sphere. He's taking a major step in fulfilling the great purpose that he had in coming into the world. You'll see the same in the book of the Acts of the Apostles as he works out the ministry of the apostles. There are further departure points where they carry on the ministry committed to them until they fulfilled it as the Lord intended. So this is an important chapter. It starts on a very solemn note. We read in verse 3, he left Judea. He left Judea. The Lord Jesus had been there for some time now. We read at the end of chapter 2 that he did many, many miracles there. Outstanding miracles that caused a tremendous stir. Unfortunately, in most people, it was only surface deep. And there was no deep heart seeking after Christ for his own sake. They were more taken up with the spectacular miracles than they were with the spiritual reality of the person and the work of Christ. And Christ didn't believe in them, didn't commit himself to them. He realized that there was nothing much to that crowd. You remember he had the conversation with Nicodemus. And after that, it appears that he still lingered for a considerable time. It could be that he went back to Bethabara beyond Jordan. John had moved on, we are told, to Enon, and there he was baptizing. It is quite probable that the Lord Jesus went to Bethabara, where there was enough water for multiple baptismal services. And he preached, and there were many people baptized. Not by the hand of Christ, but by the hand of his disciples. It would indicate that statement in verse 1 that he did spend quite some time in the southern part of the country there in Judea. But now, after that time, we read, he left Judea. As I read that again this morning before coming to God's house, I wondered, did many people even know or notice or pay much heed or show any concern that the Lord had gone from their midst? I wonder, were there any tears? Was there much lamentation that the Lord of glory had withdrawn himself from their midst? He left Judea. Reminds me of what I read in the book of Ezekiel. When you read that prophecy, so difficult in many ways, and yet so telling in many other ways. One of the things that you should look out for when you're reading the prophecy of Ezekiel is the vision of the retreating glory of the Lord. You have the glory of the Lord over and filling the temple. And by little and by little, the glory of the Lord recedes until finally it is standing, as we would say, on the outside, looking in. I have often thought that the glory of the Lord receded in the days that Ezekiel was describing. It receded by steps, receded little by little, and it stopped. And it stopped again, and it stopped again, before leaving entirely. As if to say, is there anybody who even notices? Is there anybody who even cares? And I think in Ezekiel's time there were precious few. The priests went about their business. The people went about their business. The temple worship went on, corrupt as it was on the inside, as Ezekiel 8 makes very clear. Everything went on. The psalms were sung, the prayers were said, but the glory of God was retreating. Nobody even cared.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.